Everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need here. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into the NHSCA Sports Hour. This show airs every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at artist_first. And now on to the show.
Good evening, high school sports fans. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour for May the 10th, brought to you by the National High School Coaches Association. I'm Jeff Fisher, the host of the show, plus the founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America and highschoolfootballamerica.com, settling in for a couple of hours of high school sports talk here tonight on the Artist First Radio Network. After we wrap things up here, after the first 60 minutes with the NHSCA Sports Hour, we roll it right into High School Football America, all high school talk coming up at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and we'll tell you about those guests coming up a little bit later in the show. But let's start with our guest here on the show this evening. We will start things off with Austin Bowe. He is the head football coach at Seminole Ridge. Oop, let me put a couple of other words in there. He is the head football coach of the girls flag football state champion Seminole Ridge football team, which won the championship over Dr. Phillips School, the defending state champs, this past weekend in Florida. Seminole Ridge is located in the Palm Beach area of Florida, and he's going to talk about that championship and also really discuss the growth of girls flag football in the United States. There's only two states in the country that actually play championships, at least sanctioned by the state athletic associations. Florida is one. The FHSAA has been doing it for 10 years. And then Alaska is also a state that has a state championship. So you're talking about two teams at the, or two states, I should say, at the opposite ends of the spectrum there, at least weather-wise. So Austin Bowe will join us to educate us on the sport, the fast-growing sport of girls flag football. That'll be coming up in about 5 or 7 minutes. And then a little bit later in the show, a very heartwarming story of a father and son. The father, Dean Dompierre, is battling against the Michigan State Athletic Association to try and get it to change its constitution. So his son, Eric, who's been playing basketball and football ever since he went to high school, will be able to play his senior year. You see, Eric has Down syndrome, and because he was held back a little bit earlier in his career, actually he was held back twice, he will turn 19 before September 1st, which is the cutoff in the state of Michigan. So Dean Dompierre is trying to get Michigan to overturn its rule, make an amendment to the Constitution that would allow Eric to play football and basketball this year. They've actually started a website that you can take part in and sign a petition to, if you believe that Eric should be allowed to play this year, you can sign that petition, and all you have to do is go to letemplay.us, that's letemplay.us, and you can sign the petition. But Dean Dompierre will be on this show talking about give us a little bit of a taste, and then we'll have a full interview with Dean Dompierre coming up on High School Football America somewhere in the area of about 7:25 Eastern time. So a really wonderful story, and we hope Michigan sees it's not the error of its ways. It's a rule that's been around for 100 years, but makes a little bit of a change here for Eric, so this young man can play football and basketball during his senior year. Let's take a look look at some of the news from around the country this week. We'll do it throughout the show, and let's start with a couple of interesting ones. We'll first start with a young man in Virginia. Now, he didn't do this during competitive high school golf, but it bears mention nonetheless. His name is Matthew Padgett, and he is a golfer on the Matoka high school team in Chesterfield, Virginia. And this sophomore, when he was out playing with a couple of his teammates and friends over the past weekend, was able to score 2 holes in 1. And not only did he do that amazing feat, he did it on back back-to-back holes. Yes, he scored two aces back-to-back, and if you want to know what the odds of that happening are, they're quite simply pretty high, as you can imagine. The consecutive aces on par three holes, the odds of that are more than one in 156 million, and that's just shy of the same odds you have in hitting the Powerball. So congratulations to Matthew Padgett from Atoka High School, getting back-to-back aces. Again, didn't do it during competition, but it deserves a mention nonetheless. And out of Indianapolis comes news that there will not be a shot clock in high school basketball in the near future. The National Federation of State Athletic Associations has decided against it. They put out a survey and basically found a lot of people not interested in changing that rule. Of course, college basketball and the NBA has had it for a while, but high school basketball will not have a shot clock coming up. Going to thank all of our sponsors right now. Before we get into our first interview, we want to thank XCNation.com, the nation's premier high school cross-country website. Again, that's XCNation.com. Dr. Jared Spencer of the Mind of the Athlete. He's always helpful in putting things in perspective. He is well-respected around the country, so that's mindoftheathlete.com. You can check out his website. We're also brought to you tonight by Gatorade's G-Series, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dalamure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to be talking girls flag football, state championship style, as we head to the Palm Beach area of Florida to talk with Austin Bowe, the head coach of Seminole Ridge High School. That and more when we come back. You're listening to the NHSC Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ron Chepsik, and I am a co-producer and co-host of Crime Beat, Issues, Personalities, and Controversies from the Dark Side. We hope you can join my co-producer and co-host, Willie Hareb, and me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Artist First Worldwide Radio Network. We will take you into the back alleys and boardrooms of the world's most fascinating subject, crime. We have a diverse group of guests on the show who will talk about a wide range of fascinating subjects. They include organized crime, drug trafficking, government corruption, sports scandals, victims' rights, and crime as it relates to the war on terror. Our shows are timely and always stimulating. So we hope you can tune in on Thursday at 8 p.m. for another Dynamite program about crime. Past shows are available free. Visit artistfirst.com. Stay tuned.
Begin tonight's NHSCA Sports Hour with a trip to the Sunshine State, and what I've been reading before setting this interview up is Palm Beach is kind of the birthplace of flag football, and this past weekend, Seminole Ridge High School, led by head coach Austin Bowe, won another state championship. Yes, Florida plays girls high school flag football, and they sanction it and have state championships, and Coach Bowe is here to talk about his second overall state title and the program and the growth of the sport itself. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you for having me.
Sure, let's kind of get the scene set here, because I'm not sure all of my listeners know that there's flag football being played around America. So let's, before we dig right into your program, let's talk a little bit about the birth. I know the Florida High School Athletic Association has been sanctioning it for the last 10 years, but tell us a little bit about its origin and where it's come from over the last decade.
Well, the sport at the high school level for girls started in Palm Beach County about 1998. The athletic directors got together and were looking, you know, at another sport for girls, you know, under 10.09 gender equity where they could do it. And they asked around, and the girls were really interested in playing flag football. So they started it locally in 98. The Florida High School Athletic Association did pick it up in the 2002-2003 season as a full sanctioned sport under the Florida High School Athletic Association.
So tell me a little bit about the program at Seminole Ridge. You won the state championship this past weekend, beating Dr. Phillips and that school by a score of 20-13. But tell us a little bit about the growth within Seminole Ridge, and have you been there from the beginning, or if you haven't been, how you got involved with it?
Yeah, the growth really started, and Seminole Ridge has been so strong because of a local rec program. The high school coach in this area at the time from Royal Palm Beach, before Seminole Ridge existed, got with a couple of people in the local Acreage Athletic League, and they started a girls flag football program. The first year, the sport wasn't anything what it looks like now. It was a rec program with just 50 girls total. And that's how I got into it. I was coaching my daughter in softball, and they had sign-ups at the end of the softball season, and, you know, the kids were looking for something to do, and, you know, I took my daughter over there, signed them up, and got roped into coaching in 1999, and it's just kind of grown since then. I took over the league and ran it for 3 years, grew the league to almost 400 girls, and that actually works as a feeder program for me now. So Seminole Ridge opened as a high school in 2006. We actually even made the state tournament the first year as a high school just because of the experience that the girls have from playing in a local rec league. And, you know, we've done pretty well. We're 99-12 overall in the 7 years. And this championship was our second state championship.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about that. And folks, I'm going to put up on the blog tonight a video from YouTube that'll show you the end of the 20-13 victory over Dr. Phillips. But tell us a little bit about how that comes down if people can't get to the video. It was an exciting finish, to say the least.
Yeah, it really was. And we knew we were in a big game. I'm good friends and have a tremendous amount of respect for the coach, Dr. Phillips, Anthony Jones, and the program that he's developed. His program actually has the most wins in Florida State finals history with this last one. And they were the 2011 state champions. So it was, you know, a battle of the 2010 and 2011 state champions. The game was just coming down to the wire. We had one end of the fourth quarter, 13-13. You know, just a little under 2 minutes left. Dr. Phillips, as you've seen in the video, made a huge play with an interception. My quarterback made a game-saving flag pull, turned it over to the defense, and we held, got our own interception. And then with 16 seconds left, you know, for about half a second, I thought about not going for it, but we didn't drive 400 miles to play scared. So. I called a play that we had open a couple times during regulation, you know, during the rest of the game. We weren't able to hit it. We got the defense we were looking for out of it. And, you know, it's a play where we line up with a double passer to the one side, and we put it over to the right. And they shift their safety a little bit when we did that. So we felt like we had a shot to hit the left slot receiver. We ran her on a stop and go to make sure the linebacker didn't chase her up the field. Brought another receiver down in front of her. If you watch as that play develops, and that kept her there. Quarterback made a great throw. She had no blocker on the play and just put it right on the money. And my senior Bianca Lagos, one of the best players I've ever had, just made it all happen from there.
I was going to say, let's give some of the girls via their names, you know, some props. Who are some of the kids that made a difference this year and got you guys to your second state title?
Yeah, I have two of my captains and, you know, my leaders on the team. Bianca Lagos, who's the number 8 that caught the winning touchdown play, and number 11, Michelle Valero. Michelle caught both other touchdowns and the extra point to have us at 13-0. And my quarterback, who's just a sophomore, Morgan Lauer. She's actually a third-generation sister to play for Seminole Ridge. The first 3 years, her older sister quarterbacked our club. So, and across the board, Sydney Shivers, number 1, is she's the girl who made the interception late in the game to give us the chance to get back on offense. Danielle DeCarolis was our leading tackler or flag puller in the whole tournament with 17. Sydney actually led with 5 interceptions in the tournament. Caitlin O'Hara also and Kelsey Strickland on offense also played tremendous. And our rusher, Christy Reamer, Just played two of the biggest games that I've ever seen her play in the semifinals and the finals to keep us in the game so we could win it.
Talking with the head coach of Seminole Ridge in Florida and Palm Beach area, they just won the 2012 Girls Flag Football Championship in the state of Florida. We're talking with Austin Bow, a real leader in the sport. We're going to talk a little bit about the growth here in a few seconds, but maybe we should have started with this question at the top. But for our listeners out there, Girls Flag Football, you talked about, you know, your top tackler is a flag puller. So what are some of the other differences between what America knows as a football game and flag football?
Great question. It is the sport itself is played on a 40 by 80 yard long field, goal line to goal line, with two 10 yard end zones. A lot of the same rules apply without the tackling and the hitting. There's seven people on offense. Some people may be familiar with some of the tackle teams where they play 7-on-7 with their skill players to keep their skills up. Mm-hmm. The first downs are pre-marked on the field. There's a 20-yard line, a 40-yard line, and a 20 at the other end. And to get a first down, you have to cross one of those lines. It's considered a line to gain. So, you know, unlike tackle, where it's almost always first and 10 when you get a first down, you can actually have a first and 1 or a first and, you know, 19.9. So, you know, there's some more strategy involved in there. You don't want to, you know, just barely cross a first down line, you know, at the 20 and give yourself a first and 20 to go, because that makes it, you know, more difficult to get than if you can get, you know, 10 yards and shorten it up to a first and 15 or a first and 10. To tackle someone, you have to pull their flag. The flags are one solid piece belt with a clip, a spring-loaded clip, and the whole belt comes off. The ball is spotted just like tackle football. It's how far the ball is advanced when the flag is pulled. Scoring's all the same, 6 points for touchdowns. There are no kicks, so on extra points, you can go for 1, 2, or 3. You can go for 1 point from the 3, 2 points from the 10, or 3 points from the 20. So that also, you know, makes games interesting near the end if, you know, somebody got an extra point or two and somebody else didn't. You can always maybe try and tie it up with a longer extra point try for 3. You know, everybody is eligible to catch passes. You can have, you know, just one forward pass per play, but you can have multiple laterals and pitches. And most of the better teams do incorporate a lot of that into their schemes.
I was just going to say, it sounds like my Sunday afternoon as a teenager growing up, playing in the streets almost. It's similar to touch football, the way we played it sounds like.
You know, it's exactly what it is, and as fun as that was when we used to run around in the streets as kids and playing, these girls love the sport. You know, the team we played, their quarterback is one of the best athletes in the state. That group of girls not only was the defending state high school flag football champions, they're the two-time basketball champions in girls basketball. And the quarterback there, Hannah Shrively, was quoted as saying that if girls flag football was a college sport, she would give up basketball today.
Wow, and that's a good lead into, I read an article on Max Preps where you're quoted in that. I guess you're the volunteer national director for the sport for the AAU, and said that you'd really like to see this. So tell me a little bit more about that. Is that a pipe dream, or is there reality on the horizon with this?
You know, I really think we've got a good shot at getting in fairly soon. There's a lot of teams already in colleges, and they have a national championship that they play every year in New Orleans. And I don't know if you got to see the video for the AAU national championship at ESPN, the two teams in the final. It was a women's division, but the two teams were two college teams, FAMU and University of South Florida. FAMU has been really a leader in the sport from the beginning, and Coach Marvin has done a tremendous job in taking his team all over and exposing the sport to a lot of college locations. There's a swamp ball at the University of Florida with teams from all over the country that come to it. So the teams are in place. I think, especially with, you know, colleges and everything looking to, you know, for the gender equity, there mm-hmm. is a fast track that should be able to be done. And the main thing we need is 10 universities that would sign on and agree to sponsor the sport in its first season. Had a little setback myself that I haven't been able to do as much work on it in the last year, but I'm getting right back to it, and I'm pretty confident that we can get it as a sport. I think it's a great sport. I think it's, you know, a very viable sport for an NCAA, and if they pick it up, I think you would see an explosion of growth.
Just, I should have asked you this. You talked about your program at Seminole Ridge itself. What about statewide? How many teams are there in the state of Florida that are playing right now?
It's grown to just under 200. I believe there's 192. The actual sanction bracket was 167 because first-year teams are not allowed to compete in the state tournament. So if they didn't start them right away. So they'll incorporate into districts next year and play down their champion. But it's under 200 teams.
Okay, and you talked about obviously getting those universities involved, but the more states that get involved, obviously, the more that'll help kind of push its way up, if you will. I know Alaska has a state sanctioned tournament and all that. Where are some of the other states that the sport is growing, and you can see it to the point where maybe some other state athletic associations would start sanctioning?
The NFL has done a tremendous job in trying to promote the sport itself, and there's Centec School District in Texas. From what I understand, the Washington, D.C. area just picked up the sport as a high school sport this year. I believe Nevada has some flag teams out there. It's a lot of, you know, kind of hit or miss in small areas, kind of like it started in Palm Beach County, you know, with a small number of teams. And, you know, I really expect the growth. It's, you know, it's as a sport, most sports kind of come the other way in the high school, I think, where, you know, they were a college sport or a pro sport or a sport, you know, that existed all along. And that's kind of one of the headwinds that we are facing, you know, and some of the things that, you know, oh, it's girls' powder puff. You know, if you watch that video, it's not girls' powder puff. These girls are athletes, and I warn, you know, some of the boy tackle football players, you know, I've told them, I said, don't come mess around with these girls and think you want to play them, because, you know, this is their game. Not, you know, you guys play tackle, this is their game. They're going to give you a run for your money, and even if you win, you can't win, because they're going to be making plays and scoring on you, and your friends are going to see it. So. But they do come out, and, you know, we have a local tournament here, the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure or Flags for the Cure tournament in January. And there's some boys teams that come into that. And, you know, we usually, you know, put a little team together for a club team and do it for the cause. And a lot of the teams are out there practicing, and we scrimmage the boys a lot. And they, you know, they have a lot of respect for how well the girls play this game.
Well, congratulations on getting there at the ground level and pushing. The world needs more people like that have the vision. So, Coach, congratulations on the state championship, and best of luck in the future.
Okay, thank you so much, Jeff, and thanks for the opportunity to do anything I can to try and help promote the sport and grow it for the girls who love it.
You're very welcome. That is the head coach of Seminole Ridge High School in Florida. His name is Austin Bowe, and they won a state championship this past weekend, and educating the listeners a little bit on flag football. And good to hear that that stuff I did back when I was a teenager maybe would pay off someday down the road. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little high school lacrosse, that and more. When we come back, you're listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
Not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Welcome to the Artist First Network, a weekly program featuring the best independent artists anywhere.
Damn it, get the hell out of my kitchen.
Hit the Artist First Network. Now you're going to jail for assault.
This is the Artist First Network, the network of independent artists. Each week, the Artist First Network brings you the newest and brightest of independent and undiscovered artists.
Hi, the latest project was recorded. I can get through this. Can we keep it rolling?
Hi, this is called Baby You're So Hot. Cut. Damn it. Damn it, Jim. Alright, here, give me another crack at that one. Quit laughing at me.
Where's the web? I told you. www.artistfirst.com.
Welcome to the Artist First Network.
Time to remind you that time is running out for signing up for the 13th annual NHSCA National Wrestling Duels, which are set for May 25th through the 28th in Virginia Beach at the Virginia Beach Convention Center. Go to NHSCA.com to learn more. Last year, just a great event. We had 108 teams competing from 18 states. We had over 1,800 competitors and a large number of nationally ranked wrestlers. We have championships, if you don't know this, in three divisions: high school, middle school, and elementary school. And the high school champs, defending champs, actually they're two-time defending champs. Team Griffin Black from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is already signed up. They are back to defend their title. Head coach Tyler Nauman has done a great job with them, and Team Griffin Black will be back again. If you want to register your team, you still have about a week to do so. Just go to NHSCA.com to learn more. The registration forms are right on there. Want to congratulate a coach in Virginia who reached quite a milestone last week. Her name is Kathy Jenkins. She is the girls cross country coach at, girls lacrosse coach at St. Stephen's and St. Agnes High School in Alexandria, Virginia. She won her 600th game last week, routing Holy Child from Potomac, Maryland, 15-2. She is only the second woman in girls lacrosse at the high school level to reach the 600 win mark. She trails only Angela Tomorrow, who's the head coach at Greenwich Academy in Greenwich, Connecticut, who over the past 47 years has won 668 games. Jenkins, who really hadn't had much time in the sport, if any at all, until she took over the St. Stephen's and St. Agnes program. She built it from the ground floor up. She has now won 24 conference championships. She's had 8 undefeated teams, and she's been quoted in several publications saying she's going to coach this from her deathbed. And Kathy's been so busy with the media in the D.C. and Virginia area over the last couple of days. We weren't able to get her on to tonight's show, but we will next week have Kathy Jenkins on the show again. Congratulations to her and St. Stephen's and St. Agnes School. 600 wins, a pretty darn good mark, and she took the program over and started it in 1976. Before we end this segment, we do want to take a look at the girls and boys lacrosse rankings, courtesy of ESPN High School. They have the Powerade Fab 50, and ranked number one on the girls' side this week is McDonough School out of Owings Mill, Maryland. They are undefeated. Number two, also from the state of Maryland, is Bryn Mawr. Number three is Farmingdale from Farmingdale, New York. Coming in at number four, St. Anthony's from South Huntington, New York. And number five from the state of New Jersey is Morristown High School. On the boys' side, it's Garden City from Garden City, New York, being ranked number one. The Haverford School from Haverford, Pennsylvania, ranked number two, year in and year out, a great program. Number three is Bridgewater Raritan from Bridgewater Township, New Jersey. Number four, a team from Pennsylvania, from Berwyn, Pennsylvania, Conestoga. And number five is Chaminade from New York. And those are the top five rankings. Again, you can go to ESPN High School to see the Fab 50 presented by Powerade. And again, congratulations to Kathy Jenkins. Don't forget to tune in next week to hear her talk about that incredible milestone of winning her 600th game. Got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the state of Michigan for an incredible story of a father and son as the father battles to make sure that his son with Down syndrome can play high school football and basketball during his senior year. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
Tornadoes raked the South. It was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. As communities lay in ruins, it was the hams who let their families know their loved ones were safe. When the power and cell phones went out, the hams were there, helping rescuers get the message through. Wherever catastrophes strike, amateur radio is ready. Amateur radio works when other communications don't. Contact the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, on the web at emergencyradio.org. That's emergencyradio.org.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show?
Home radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP? That's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning! Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music.
Man down!
Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
Hi, this is James from Family of the Year, and you're listening to the Corey King Radio Show.
Hey, what's up? This is Alan from 4 Years Strong, and you're listening to the Corey King Radio Show.
Hi, this is Ben Cooper of Radical Faith, Electric President, and a bunch of other crap, and you're listening to the Corey King Radio Show.
Hi, it's Corey of the Corey King Radio Show on the Artist First World Radio Network, inviting you to join me every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we pick in the brains of musicians and industry professionals. In the past, I've interviewed artists such as Kevin Devine, Dan of Good Old War, Alan Day of 4 Years Strong, Ryan Kelly and Paul Byram of Celtic Thunder, Greaves and Budo, and plenty more. I also make it easy for you as a listener to ask your questions to the guests. All you gotta do is tweet me at Corey King, that's at CoreyKingGG, and I'll read your questions over the air. Visit www.artistfirst.com/CoreyKing.htm to learn more and listen to or watch past interviews that I've done. I'll talk to y'all on Wednesday.
Back on the NHSCA Sports Hour, next stop is the state of Michigan. We're going to play you a snippet of an interview that will be heard in its entirety coming up in just a little bit on High School Football America at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. Right now, we're going to let you listen to part of that interview with Dean Dompierre. His son, Eric, has Down syndrome, and he's been playing high school football and basketball ever since going to the high school. Unfortunately, because of an old Michigan State high school rule, Eric will not be able to play this year unless his father and a bunch of other people are able to sway the Michigan High School Athletic Association and its members to change the constitution to allow Eric, who will turn 19 before September 1st, to play this year. There's a lot of support going on for Eric right now via a website called letemplay.us. Again, that's L-E-T-E-M-P-L-A-Y, letemplay.us, where you can sign a petition. Over 91,000 signatures have been recorded so far. Lots of people saying, you know, Eric Dompierre should play his senior year of high school football and basketball. And now here's an interview that I did with Dean Dompierre that you'll hear a little bit later coming up on High School Football America. But to set the scene, Dean takes a little bit of time to tell us about that two-year journey to get his son Eric to play in spite of the fact that he has Down syndrome and will be over the age of 19 when the 2012-2000 school year starts.
Well, yeah, like you said, the rule states that if you're 19 by the time before September 1st, you can't compete that whole next year. And we agree wholeheartedly with the rule. I think you do need an age cutoff so that we don't have grown adults competing against kids and teams getting advantages by fielding older players. But for my son and for other kids like him, there was no real option for him to be able to play 4 years of high school sports. He was, like you said, he was held back twice in early elementary school. And so now he has no options out there to play his senior year. He ages out. So we realized that probably, well, over 2 years ago when his high school coach stepped into the freshman practice and mentioned that he saw Eric as a four-year player. So mm-hmm. We did the math and we realized that this wasn't going to work for Eric the way it is now. So we approached the MHSAA leadership about what we needed to do in order to get Eric to play. And they were kind enough and polite enough to help us go through their steps for
getting the rule changed. Now, the rule, the age limit, according to the NHSA Constitution, is the only rule that the leadership is not allowed to waive at this point in time. So they couldn't give him a waiver. So our only option is to change the Constitution mm-hmm. to allow for waivers for the age rule. They have waivers to just about every other rule for various circumstances where students experience some kind of an undue hardship. So we felt that the age rule was no different than any other rule, with the exception of the fact that the Constitution wouldn't allow the waiver. So we, when I say we, I mean the Eric's school district, the Ishming school district, and I, we submitted a proposal to the MHSAA in July of 2010. And we asked for a waiver just for those students with Down syndrome mm-hmm. To be allowed to play an extra year. The MHSAA leadership in December 2010 decided to not send it to their schools for a vote, essentially rejecting our request. The only explanation they gave was in their minutes of their meeting that said they did it for legal and practical purposes. So I spent some time reading the Constitution and bylaws of every high school association in the United States, and I found that there were eight states that had waiver language to their age rule, specifically for students with disabilities. And then there were 15 other states that allowed their leadership to waive any rule, including the age rule, if it imposed an undue hardship upon a student. So what we did then in February of 2011, a little over a year ago, is we submitted a second proposal, and we suggested all eight of those policies that are in effect in the eight other states, as well as the our original Down syndrome only language. So there were nine options that they had to choose from. A year ago at their May meeting, they again declined to send it to their membership for a vote, but they did agree to discuss it at their fall athletic director meetings. They have six or eight of them across the state every spring and every fall. So we were encouraged by that. We thought at least they're going to open it up to the ADs, and they might be willing to take a look at that. So when the meetings were going on, I had a chance to sit down with Jack Roberts, who's the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, and he in our discussions and in some consequent emails, it was evident that he considered the Down syndrome only option to be the one that would get the least amount of support. Simply because I think they felt if they allowed a waiver for one condition like Down syndrome, then they would have people coming with every other disability condition sure. coming to ask, and we understood that. But we had given them eight other options to choose from. Well, shortly after the meetings ended, I emailed Jack Roberts, and at that time I found out that the Down syndrome only language was essentially the only option that was presented at those AD meetings. The other eight were not discussed or were not discussed much. And so that when they took when the leadership took a survey to see if ADs were in support of changing the Constitution, of course, the ADs were, since the Down syndrome only option was the only one presented, the ADs in their survey voted 60-40 against wanting to do any kind of a change to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So they used that rejection or that disinterest in the Down syndrome only option in their December meeting to reject the whole proposal. And that would have been December 2011, just last December. Well, once that ended, I thought that was kind of a, not a very good way to treat these kids mm-hmm. By presenting only the one that they figured would not get much support. So what I did then was I convinced the Ishming School District, didn't take much convincing once I told them the story, to submit one more proposal. And in that proposal, that's the most recent one. It's the one that they considered just this past weekend at their meeting. In it, we removed all of the Down syndrome only language and all pretty much all references to any specific disability, and we just suggested the language used by the 8 states that have specific disability related language. So they had 8 different options to choose from. And at that point in time, this would have been about early March when we submitted it. At that time, I felt that we needed to get to let the school districts know that, you know, just what the request was asking, because we felt we weren't going to get that by going through the MHSAA. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to get the full story. So that's when I went to the media. I sent letters to the editor, to every newspaper in the state and every news station in the state to try to alert them. But it wasn't until our local TV station, TV6 here in Marquette, did a story and put it on their news that this thing kind of took off.
Great.
Once Facebook got a hold of it, it just went crazy. A day later, we started the petition, the online petition at change.org website. That petition took off, and pretty much, I guess you can say the rest is history. It's just the more that people found out about it, the more interest there was in it, the greater the number of petition signatories, and then the more news stations wanted to do stories on it, which made more people find out about it, and it just kind of snowballed to the point where, you know, I've had CNN in my living room, ESPN in my living room. I've been in sports. You know, my son and I, our names have been in Sports Illustrated, New York Times, and, you know, Detroit Free Press. And now it's in all kinds of papers across the country and really across the world.
Yeah, and the court of public opinion sometimes can sway people. So that's a wonderful thing. Just to let our listeners know, we are talking with Dean Dompierre. He is fighting, as you've heard, for the last 2+ years to get a change to the Michigan High School State Athletic Association's constitution that would allow his son Eric to play his senior year in football and basketball. Eric has Down syndrome and has participated in basketball and football throughout his high school career. I think the last time I looked, Dean, you had over 92,000 signatures on your website, which is letemplay.us, which is letemplay.us. How are you feeling at this point? Like you said, you know, the media has kind of caught that swell, and you always need that tipping point. So now it's up to the members, and you got to get 2/3 majority of the return ballots, and hopefully you'll hear by May. But you never want to count chickens before they hatch, but how are you feeling at this point?
Well, we're feeling encouraged. You know, we're glad that the leadership of the MHSAA has decided to go ahead and put forth a proposal for the schools to vote on. That gets us a lot closer than we've ever been to actually getting this thing done. We haven't seen the language of the proposal yet, but we're cautiously optimistic that they are going to present a fair and equitable proposal. So that kids like my son Eric and those kids he represents can get a full 4 years of high school sports and still make sure to protect those other athletes who these kids will be competing against.
Again, tune into High School Football America coming up at 7 o'clock. We will play the entire interview we had with Dean Dompierre. You can tell he has got a lot of passion about this issue to try and get his son to play this year. And it's not just for his son. There's a lot of athletes we've heard about around the country that are participating at a very high level in high school athletics. And I think that it behooves the Michigan High School Athletic Association to make a change in its constitution. Again, you can join the fight by going to the website, letemplay.us, that's letemplay.us, and sign that petition to get Eric Dompierre the shot to play his senior year, both playing football and basketball at Ishpeming High School. Also want to remind you that we have a bunch of interviews coming up lined up for you on High School Football America at the top of the hour. We'll be joined tonight, in addition to the Dean Dompierre interview, by Steve Specht. He is the great high school football coach from the state of Ohio. He is the coach at St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati, and he was recently named the head of the USA Football Under-19 under 19 team that will play for a world championship in Austin, Texas, late in June and early in July. So Steve Speck will be on High School Football America coming up in a little bit. We'll also talk with Mark Soto, who is the executive director of Battle for Veterans. And Mark, through his organization, has put together a football invitational that will be played in Northern and Southern California in the month of August that will raise money for wounded military veterans in America. So stay tuned for that coming up at 7 o'clock, High School Football America, right here on the Artist First Radio Network. Going to take a break, come back with more. Stay tuned. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you could make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines, made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
Clone radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP. That's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning! Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music.
Man down!
Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
Time to close up shop here on the NHSCA Sports Hour tonight, but don't go away. Right at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, we roll it right into High School Football America. Three great guests for you tonight. As we mentioned before, Dean Dompierre, you just heard a portion of that interview. You'll hear the entire interview coming up at 7 o'clock. Also on the show tonight, Steve Speck, the head coach at St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati and the head coach of America's team when it comes to high school football, as USA Football is holding the World Championship. Championships once again this year. They held them the first time in 2009, and America's back to defend its title with Steve Specht as the head coach. And we'll also talk with Mark Soto of Battle for Veterans, putting on a great football invitational in Northern and Southern California coming up in August. And speaking of great events, coming up later on this month, it's the 13th annual National High School Coaches Association National Wrestling Duels, set for May 25th through the 28th at the Virginia Beach Convention Center in Virginia Beach, Virginia. As we mentioned earlier in the show, last year's event was a great one. 18 states being represented, 108 teams, and 1,800 competitors, with a lot of nationally ranked wrestlers in the house last year. And we expect the high school, the middle school, and elementary divisions to be even more competitive this year. Back to defend its two straight titles. Going for the three-peat is Team Griffin
and Black out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They were dominant last year as they just really rolled to the championship in the pool competition. They outscored all seven opponents by a margin of 494-0. Yes, that's quite a shutout they pitched. The average score was 71-0. And again, Team Griffin Black from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, back to defend its championship. And there is time still to register your team. All you have to do is go to nhsca.com, click on the link there to go to the registration page. Call us if you have any questions. But again, the 13th annual NHSCA National Wrestling Duels will be held later on this month, May 25th through the 28th in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I want to thank all of our sponsors that make this show possible each and every week, starting with Gatorade's G-Series, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dalamure, and we also want to thank XC Nation, the great website for cross-country, xcnation.com, and Dr. Jared Spencer from Mind of the Athlete. We also want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in each and every week and making this show more and more popular. Tell your friends about it. You can also follow us on our blog at nhscaradioshow.blogspot.com. And I want to remind you, stay tuned. We're not going away. We've got more high school sports talk coming up in just a few minutes on High School Football America. Thanking Corey King for keeping the show running smoothly out of Ohio. We'll talk to you next week on the NHSCA Sports Hour. For now, this is Jeff Fisher saying good night and good sports. You've been listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.